Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Okay, well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. So I'd like to today, just to do this more a little bit workshop-based and just keep it a little light and have some fun here. I've been talking a lot about how important it is to spend time with God. If you want to get to know God and have a relationship with Him, you have to spend time with Him. And we've been talking about in order to learn to better hear His voice in our lives, we have to have the space and be able to quiet all of the other voices. So we've been talking about a lot about stillness, a lot about rest. If our body and our soul is rested, we're much more able to hear His voice than if we're busy and scattered and running around doing a million things, even if they're good things. John Paul Jackson has said that peace and stillness is like the potting soil for revelation. So if we can't get to that point, even though that's hard, it's going to make it harder to hear from Him. At the same time, we also talk a lot about the siddur, and we talk a lot about, you know, praying the Jewish service and how important it is to pray the Shema. You know, we've had sermons here where I've walked us through the different parts of the service and how important all of that is. So you've got these messages where we're saying, like, you know, be still and pray. And then we've got this message over here where it's like, let's get into the siddur and pray Jewish prayer. Then you've got other messages like pull out your prayer list and pray all these different things on your prayer list. And then you've got other voices over here that are saying, read your Bibles. It can seem a little bit overwhelming, can it? Like, well, what do I do? Do I do all of these things? How do I do that? Do I have to spend 5 or 6 hours a day doing all these things? How does it work? So I want to touch on that today. And what I have here is a page that I've created here called God Time. And so this is God Time. This is not a recipe. This is not like spoken from heaven. This is just an idea. It's just some lessons that I've learned on how to piece it together and some ideas. So you can take what you want from this. You can throw some things out, and we'll have some time today, hopefully, to do a little bit of a practice with this. So these are like, if you look at this, like legs of a table, if you will, the four kind of key legs for Messianic Jews that are really important in terms of what God time looks like. Now, I just want to qualify that this doesn't mean those of you who are like type A or you have to like want to get everything done, this is not a checklist that you want to have in your time with God. Like, okay, I'm going to check. I did this part. Now I did this part. Now I did this part. Now I did this part. And now I feel guilty because I didn't get to this part. That's not the right motivation for any of this. The right motivation for spending time with God is because you want to recharge. And if you don't spend time with Him, you won't connect with Him, and your life will be different. It's because you need Him. You know, those of you who are married here, like, you don't want to have time with your spouse be some sort of, like, obligatory, you know, thing. It doesn't really work in a marriage. You want to spend time with each other. You want to hang out with each other. You know, that's a joy. That's a healthy marriage, when you want to spend time with each other. And our relationship with God is the same way. So I just want to qualify, because our tendency is going to be to look at something like this, at least my tendency, and be like, okay, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to do this, 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 this. That's not the whole point. Also, this is not something that needs to happen every single day. This is something like you could be doing one thing a little bit more one day or a few days, and then the next day kind of counterbalance and come over here and then over here. So don't think of our lives or our time with God as like set blocks that this is you have to accomplish everything all at once. Instead, you can think of it as like an arc. There can be seasons for things. There's a lot of grace in this. It's about spending time with Him. Let me go through these different pillars, because it is important that we do touch on these pillars. And again, it's very fluid. Okay. So the first that we have in the blue here is the siddur. And we talk a lot about the siddur here. We've been praying a lot from the siddur. And the siddur is important because it imparts our identity as who we are as Jewish people. The siddur is a collection of prayers that date all the way back to pre-Yeshua days, the times we were just reading about with Moses in the wilderness. Some of these prayers date all the way back to then in the Shema and things like that. And so what we're doing when we pray the Shema and we pray the Jewish prayers is we're actually identifying with the Jewish people, not only in our world today, but throughout all of the generations. And so it's like we step outside of our own individual selves and we come together with a whole community. That's why we pray east. It's like all the Jews around are all praying together all at the same times. That's a beautiful thing. Because if we only go out into hangout time and coffee time with God, which I've talked a lot about, then we can become kind of narcissistic in our spirituality and we forget that God is a corporate God. Everything is we. You see, when it's speaking out that way. When we pray out of the siddur, we're praying probably 95% scripture, and the other 5% is scriptural themes. So we're like, it's basically like our sages over generations and generations said, how can we take this Bible and how can we turn this into something that we can pray and something that we can speak out? That's what the siddur is. Now, it reminds us of kingdom purposes. When we pray the siddur, we're praying things that we wouldn't normally pray on our own if we just sit down. If I sit down in my orange prayer swing that I have in my backyard, I don't usually pray about the redemption of, you know, Israel and the temple and the whole world and all these different things. Like, it just doesn't come. I'm worried about the stuff that I'm worried about. And it helps us to step out of ourselves to pray those things. It's corporate praise and worship. It helps us to, again, step out of our own lives, coming into what's really true and speaks and imparts truth into our lives. I like this phrase, weaving liturgical treasures with our Jewish people. So when you pray out of the siddur, it doesn't need to be a two-hour time when you go through every single prayer in the morning service. You can choose. You can find things here or there and imagine that you're weaving like a tapestry out of these Jewish prayers. You see, it can be a very short time, but it's a touch point that connects us with who we are as a Jewish people. It's very important. Then on the other side, if you go like diagonally down, we have the Torah. Now, when we spend time with God, you know, in other circles, in Christian circles, they sometimes call it quiet time, you know. And what does that mean? Well, often it's Bible reading, it's Bible meditation. Bible meditation is the concept of like you read a passage, and as you're reading it, you imagine that you are there, that you're present, you're walking through that passage. And then you sit and you let God speak to you about, you know, what you're reading in the scriptures. I think reading the Torah and reading the Bible is really important. It brings us right into truth. This is what God has already spoken in our lives. This is a really important part of it. Now, if you go over to the green square here, hang out with God. This is what I've been emphasizing over the past few months. You know, coffee time with God. We said, it doesn't have to be a lot. Just take 5 minutes. Take your cup of coffee and go sit somewhere and just be in stillness. It's not like Eastern meditation where you're trying to empty your mind and all these different things. It's not that. There's no goal except just be with your Heavenly Father because you want to be with Him and He wants to be with you. That's it. And let what happens happen. Let what comes into your mind come in. That kind of thing. Stillness. Rest. The other day I sat down on my orange prayer swing for my prayer time and I was so tired after traveling to the UMJC conference and then leading a wedding and doing all this stuff that I just fell asleep. I slept for an hour and it was great. And that was my prayer nap. You see? And I used to feel guilty about that. But then one time, one of my mentors, I said, you know, I fell asleep during my prayer time and I feel kind of bad about that. And he was like, Nathan, if your two-year-old son decided to come up and crawl into your lap and just fell asleep because he was so tired, would you be angry with him? No. I would love it. You see? So it's the same with our Heavenly Father. If we just need to spend time with Him, we want to, but we're so tired, we fall asleep, that's great. You see, that's great. And I went to sleep worried about something, and I woke up with an answer. See, isn't that neat? Okay, rest time with God. Rest is important. Rest, listening. I like to call it contemplation time. For me, I don't get hung up on this. I think it's spiritual to sit down and just think about stuff if you're doing it with God. So there's a difference between contemplating and worrying and thinking about stuff and contemplating and worrying and thinking about stuff with God. Do you see the difference? It's your kavanah. It's your intentionality behind it. It's this space of I like to just sometimes just be and let God sort of work out my thoughts, let Him work through what's going on in my life and not be too hung up about what's going on. Oh, yeah, I just thought about the birds and the clouds or this or just replayed the scene in this movie or did this. It's like it's okay. You're just hanging out with your Father. And you don't even need to talk. You know, when a relationship is really close, you don't even need to talk. You just like to be with each other. That's a key concept to get in your spending time with God. Now, if you go over to the purple square here, we get active prayer. Pray and expect an answer. Now, okay, so you say, well, if I'm just going to sit here and listen and be in rest and not do anything, then I don't really need to pray about anything. Well, no, there's another part to this too. It's active prayer. But when you pray, expect an answer. There's this verse in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. You've seen the catchphrases, worry about nothing, pray about everything, right? Now, it's not a commandment to us to say, don't worry, you're not allowed to worry. God isn't like that. That's not this condemning thing. It's saying, listen, you don't need to worry, because if you pray about everything, I'll take those things and I'll take care of them. And this peace will come over you and you won't have to worry. God is with us. He can handle our worrying. But the idea is that we pray about all things. Now, this whole table, if you will, is like how we pray about all things in life. And so you bring everything before your Heavenly Father, even your anxieties and even your woes. So I have prayer lists, worry lists, which I'll talk about in a minute, worship and praise. If you're ever down and depressed, worship. You don't want to worship when you're down and depressed. It's the last thing you want to do. But if you can worship, or if you pray in tongues, if you can do that, like, it just gets you out of yourself and it opens you up and you see something beyond what you're going through and your circumstances. And I'll just qualify before we move into this next part that, have you ever felt like, I just don't want to spend time with God? I don't want to pray. I don't want, you know, like, have you guys felt that way? I felt that way a lot. I think the problem there, if you're feeling that, no one ever says this, but the reality is it means you're approaching or already are kind of like a spiritual burnout place. And it means that you're tired. So if you feel like, I just don't want to pray, I don't want to get out the book, I don't want to do the thing, I can't do anything else, everyone's asking too much for me, blah, 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 whatever it is, don't. Is that weird that I just said that? Don't. God still loves you. Step back and rest. Whenever I get into that space, it's like my soul needs is to stop doing. It doesn't mean you just stop being spiritual and check out. That isn't what I'm saying. What I'm saying is cut everything else out, take some time, go find a river or something nice, and just go take a nap, take a swim, relax. But do it with God. And then what you'll find is that your time with God, instead of becoming this obligation, becomes something that is refreshing for you. It's like, how could I possibly get through life without this? That's the way our prayer time is supposed to be. So relax a little bit about it. And again, I know some of you guys get up at 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and go to work for 12 hours, and you know there's a lot going on, and I get that. And God gets that too. He also understands. So get creative with it. Maybe it's a 5-minute time. Maybe it's in the evenings. Maybe it's on your drives. Maybe it's cutting something out in order to do this. I don't know what it is. I like to say, ask God how much time he wants you to spend with him. So what I want to do now is I want to just share with you quickly this idea of the worry list, because it's been something that's been transformative in my life. What we're going to do is we're going to spend 1 minute in stillness. Just in stillness. I don't want you to pray. I don't even want you to sneak in praying in tongues. I don't want you to sneak in prayer. Don't pray. Stillness. What you're going to do is anything that comes up for you, any anxieties, usually the things that come up in stillness are our anxieties and our worries, whatever that thing is, I want you just to write it down on your paper, just a code word for what that thing is, and then go back to stillness. And then I'll tell you what we're going to do at the next point. So as soon as you sat in stillness, could you stay still or did things come up into your mind? I was thinking about like 17 different things during that time. I mean, if you're human, that's probably your experience. Maybe some of you are able to just be still. Yeah, so the idea here, this is just the first part of what we're doing, is in stillness, it's impossible to be still. It's hard. And that's okay because God likes activity. He likes the things in our mind. But those are the things we need to start praying about. So now in your time, you've written these things down. If you do this for half an hour, you might have a dozen things that you'd have written down. And then you can move on to the next thing. Now we're going to go back and we're going to start to pray about these things. Remember, it isn't just write it down and forget about it. He says, pray about all things. Pick one thing on your list. And the purpose of this minute is, again, this time, just listen. So now we're going to ask God to speak to you. Say, speak to me about this thing that I'm worried about. And just listen and see what pops into your mind. We're expecting to hear an answer. Even if we don't now, we'll expect to hear one down the road. Just listen. Again, God's timing is bigger than our own, and also there's a lot of quieting and different things that need to go on. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take one more minute, and this time we're going to actively pray about that issue. If you've heard something, you're going to pray about that. If you didn't, you're still going to pray. Again, you can be listening too, but the whole point here is now start praying about it. If it's a car problem, for example, start praying that God would help with the car problem and whatever the issues are and things like that. So let's take one more minute to actively speak to God and pray about that thing. Of course, the timing that we're doing is totally arbitrary, and I don't think you should sit down on your prayer place outside with your watch and time everything, but you get the idea that there are these different ways to put this together. In my experience, what came up for me during the first beginning of the stillness time was my worries about all the different things going on with camp, because there's about 7 or 8 different open projects that we're trying to work on. So that came up, and then I moved on to a whole other list of things that came up for me. And then during the time of listening, in the beginning, all that I felt like I heard was, I've got this. You know, just in my mind, and I just felt like that came from him. I've got this. It's going to be okay. So, okay, that's good. You know, like that's assuring. And so then during the second minute, what I would do is just start to pray about those specific things. And sometimes, and often when we pray about them, peace comes and things change. You know, things actually come out of nowhere that wouldn't have happened otherwise. If you think about it, if you hear from the creator of the universe that you're huge, change your whole life. If we have the time built into our lives where we can spend time with him, to engage with him, his words begin to become the truth that we hear more so than our other thinking in our minds. And that's how anxiety goes away. That's the answer for anxiety. It really is. I just want you to think, you know, some of you probably experience different things than others and whatnot, but if you can, even just a few people in 1 minute, feel like they've heard something that they feel like is from God, I mean, that's amazing. Imagine if you did 5 minutes. And the way that you grow in this is by doing it. Even if you hear nothing, even if you're confused, even if you get it wrong, the way to grow is by trying it. And when you try it and you continue to do it and you continue to spend time with him, it just starts to gradually open up and open up and open up. And then all of a sudden, hey, I think I just really did feel like God really did speak to me, see? Or I've just noticed these circumstances that have come together that I wouldn't have noticed before, you know, and I feel like this is God in my life. I want to encourage you to spend time with him and use this as like a guide just in your own mind for the different parts of what that looks like. It's a holistic thing. Again, not a checklist to cover everything every day, but different parts of your devotional life. And you can integrate them together. You can be praying with the siddur and a concept comes up to you that reminds you of this other thing that you then want to pray about. After you pray about it, you can then listen for a little bit. Then you can spend some time in stillness. Like they all go together. And you can bring them all these different pieces, if you will, to our relationship with God. So I hope this has been helpful. And Shabbat Shalom. Enjoy the rest of the summer day.
Know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.